All right, let's open our Bibles tonight to the book of Romans, chapter 14 for the message tonight. Romans chapter 14. Now, if you're familiar with the book of Romans, you know that the first 11 chapters of this book are all doctrinal. He is dealing with the subject of salvation from the beginning of it to the end of it. It is the final authority on the doctrine of salvation. But then when Paul gets to the 12th, 13th, 14th, and the 15th and 16th chapters of this book, he just deals with several practical things, things that every believer ought to know and ought to practice in the Christian life. And I want us to start reading in verse 17. We're just going to read a couple of verses here. And I'm going to just kind of jump right into where he is speaking about how to live the Christian life. And in verse 17, he says, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For he that in these things serveth Christ is acceptable to God and approved of men." In other words, God will be pleased if we are, if our lives are righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. God will be pleased. But also, there won't be any problems between us. We'll get along better. That's what he's saying. Verse 19. Now here is the what I want to preach from tonight. This is my text. In the 19th verse, he says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." Now, I want you to notice that verse. Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace. Now, let's be honest. We want to be pleasing to God, right? Amen, I do. I think you do too. We want to live our lives so that the way we live our lives is acceptable to God. But I think we also realize that we have to deal with one another. We come into contact with one another all the time. We have to deal with folks where we work. We have to deal with one another here in the church. We have to deal with our children and husband with wife and wife with husband. And so we'd all be better off if we would realize that the kingdom of God, and remember, the kingdom of God is God's methods. That's the way God does things. The kingdom of heaven is a place, but the kingdom of God, that's God's ways. That's God's method. That's how we're supposed to live. And so the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Therefore, verse 19, follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith one may edify another. I want to speak to you tonight on that verse, and I'm going to entitle the message this evening, "The Things That Make for Peace." The things that make for peace. Let's pray together and ask the Lord to help us tonight, and then the message. Let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for another day. Thank you for the blessings of this day. It's been a good day. Thank you for these folks who followed you in believers' baptism tonight. What a joy to see folks trust Christ as their Savior and then obediently get in the water and follow your command. And Lord, we just thank you. I pray for these folks and ask you to help them to grow and get nurtured in the things of the Lord. And Father, we ask now your blessings on the message tonight. Thank you for the music. Thank you for the blessing that that music stirs our hearts and gets our hearts ready to receive the seed of your word. And so, Father, as I preach now, I pray you'll fill me with your spirit and help me to say what I need to say. I pray that our minds and our hearts will be attentive and that the word of God will fall on good soil tonight. Bless us, be with us, encourage us in the faith, and we'll thank you for what you do. In Jesus' name we ask it, and amen. Hold on just a minute. Must be that time of the year. Can't get my motor started there. Hold on. All right. I want to talk to you tonight about the subject of peace. Without a doubt, this little word is one of the finest words in the English language. Peace. All that is brightest and all that is happiest in this world has always been and will always be connected with peace. Don't you find it interesting that the Bible says that the Lord Jesus will be called the Prince of Peace? Out of all the things that he could be called, he is called the Prince of Peace. When he comes, he will finally bring to this world what the world has never been able to find, and that's peace. I was reading recently, I can't remember where I was reading it, to be honest with you, but I was reading recently, it was back in the office on something, and there was this article about this solution, this substance that is found naturally in the oceans. Now, I did not know this. Maybe you know this, and if you do, just act like you'd never heard it before. But there is a substance, and scientists have studied the substance, and they figured out where it comes from. They have researched it, and they have worked with it, and they found out some amazing things about this substance that just floats naturally in the ocean. It comes from a whale's stomach, and it's called ambergris. Ambergris. Now, I had never heard of it, and when they started studying this stuff, they found out that it is completely odorless, and they found out that just a little bit of ambergris, when mixed with perfume, caused the perfume to stay fragrant longer. So if you put on perfume today, or cologne, or aftershave, no doubt if you've purchased an expensive cologne or an expensive perfume, it is mixed with a little bit of this ambergris solution. And what it does is it makes it last longer. And as I was thinking about the message tonight and thinking about peace, that article that I read flashed back into my mind. And because that's what peace brings to anything that it touches. It makes it last longer. It just makes it a little better. It heightens and it enriches everything that it touches. Think about it, folks. What is a church family without peace? You know, I've been the pastor when the church was divided, and it's not a good experience. What is a church family without peace? Let me ask you this. What is a home without peace? What is a marriage without peace? I hope all of us realize what a blessing it is that we live in the United States of America. I hope you realize that. I heard some folks recently, and they were complaining about the fact that Obama said he was going to go over and bomb the ISIS group, and that they better not put any more boots on the ground. And I thought, my, if you just realize what would happen should that come over here, you would be asking for boots on the ground. Be thankful you live where you live, folks. I cannot imagine life in Syria. Can you? Can you imagine living in Baghdad, Iraq, tonight? I can't imagine that. It is amazing what peace brings to the heart of any individual, and there is not a one of us in this room tonight who ought to take peace for granted. When the Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem, the angels filled the heavens, and they sang of peace. When Jesus resurrected from the grave, the first message that he had for the disciples was peace. Peace. You see, the sum and substance of the gospel message is that it provides peace for our hearts, peace with God. And that peace with God is so wonderful, the Apostle Paul told us, that it passes understanding. And there are very few people who have that kind of peace in their hearts. So it is no wonder that in the Sermon on the Mount, which was the constitution for the kingdom spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ, it's no wonder that in the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord Jesus pronounced his blessing upon the peacemakers. No wonder the scriptures urge us to seek peace and to follow after it. It's no wonder that the great Apostle Paul, who because of all the dissension and all of the hatred and anger and bitterness that he had to deal with in the Roman world and in the Jewish world and even in the churches that he established, it's no wonder that he admonished the believers here in this book as he closed his letter to them to follow after the things that make for peace. Now, I want you to notice tonight that social peace is the goal that all of us should be striving for. Peace is the thing that we are to seek after in our lives. Follow after the things that make for peace. That's what Paul says in this verse. And all of us, as believers, can do what the apostle commands us to do in this verse. All of us, whether we're young or whether we're old, whether we are a new Christian or whether we've been saved for decades, whether we are rich or whether we are poor, we can all do what the apostle is admonishing us to do. We can all follow after things that make for peace. So what are these things that make for peace that you and I should follow after? Let me give you a couple of thoughts here about this 19th verse, and I hope that it will be a blessing to your heart. First of all, we need to learn, and man, this is so important. I want everybody to think about this one. We need to learn to know when to speak and when to be silent. You want to follow after peace? Let me just advise you to learn to know when to speak and when to be silent. Nobody can ever be a peacemaker if they will not learn to bridle their tongue. You'll never be a peacemaker until you learn to bridle your tongue. Don't you think it's amazing that when God made us, He put a whole mouthful of teeth in our heads where our tongues are? Don't you find that amazing? And the substance out of which our teeth are made is the hardest substance on our bodies. And He gave us the ability to clench down with our teeth. And when we put pressure with our jaws and clamp down with our teeth, it makes it impossible for us to say anything. That's kind of ironic, isn't it? And just think, folks, of the emphasis that is put by the Lord Jesus in the gospel on the words that we speak. The Lord told us that every idle word in the day of judgment will have to be answered to God for. Everything, every idle word, Jesus said. And if you want to understand the passion and the depth of that, you must remember the beatitude when Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Let me tell you something, folks. Just think of all the harm created by misspoken words or misunderstood words. Sometimes it's done by intent. And that's the worst kind. And in other times, there is no intent at all, but someone's heart gets lacerated by our words. And when that happens, whether it's by intent or not, peace just goes out the door. Oh, we need to learn when to speak and when to not speak. You know, all of us get caught up in speaking when we should be silent. We all do it. There's not a one of us that doesn't do it. And if we live long enough, we are not only going to be the subject that is talked about, but we will be the one doing the talking. And the Lord Jesus knew that about us. So He told us in His word, He dealt with it all the time. Go back and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and you will see that just every little bit, the Lord Jesus, right along the way, during His entire 3.5 years of earthly ministry, dealt with the subject of forgiveness and asking for forgiveness and seeking forgiveness and offering forgiveness. Because He knew that we were going to too many times open our mouths and say things that would cause peace to leave our lives. Along the road of life, we would all do well to learn to be silent. Every one of us, preacher included. Then there's a second thing I want you to consider about this. We're talking about the things which make for peace. Number two, to have peace, we need to make sure that we have a clear conscience. We need to make sure that we have a clear conscience. Do you understand that? Let it sink into you. I mean, how a guilty conscience can be used of the devil to take away peace from our lives, I think we all are familiar with that. You ever do anything when you were little and you knew that if mom and dad found out about it, it was going to be a disaster? And you laid in bed at night wondering, what do they know? Remember that? A guilty conscience can be used of the devil to take away peace from our lives. Just think for a moment about how much the Lord insists upon wholeheartedness out of us as believers. God said, whatsoever thy right hand, or whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do with all thy might. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. And if that is not him insisting on wholeheartedness out of us, I don't know what is. And when we are wholehearted in our lives, listen, folks, it brings happiness, it brings peace to us, and it brings peace to others. Now, let me illustrate the point. I want you on this side to picture a man, a dad, a husband. And I want you to think about this man who has a wife and his 2.6 children. And I want you to picture that dad in your mind. That dad gets up every work day and he goes to work. And he's honest in his job. He gives his employer 40 hours of hard work. He does not cheat the company. He does not skimp on the lunch hour. I mean, he is a hard worker. I want you to picture the mom in that home. Mom works hard at her job. And then she comes home and she helps with homework and she cooks the dinner and she washes clothes. And at the end of the week, both mom and dad are tired. They have stood for the Lord all week long. Dad has resisted temptation. Mom has resisted the devil. They've been in church on Sunday and they've been there on Wednesday night. And they've sat down with the kids and read the Bible and prayed before the kids went to sleep. And everything they've done, they have done it honestly. And when the week comes to an end, they feel good. There's no guilt there. They are at peace with themselves. They are at peace with one another. They are at peace with their children. And there is a natural kinship of peace that is clear in that home. But then on this side, I want to show you another home and another family. And over here is another man. And this fella over here has squandered the week. He has cheated in his workplace. He has cut corners on his job. He has not given himself to his work. He has flirted with co-workers. He has dishonored himself and he has dishonored his family with his foul language around the water cooler, with his filthy jokes that he has told to his friends. And now at the end of that week, when he goes home, he's unhappy. He's unhappy. He's unhappy with himself. And when he comes home unhappy with himself because of who he is, because of his unrighteousness, he comes into the home and automatically becomes the source of unhappiness in the home. He'll be irritable. He'll be ready to argue at the drop of a hat. He will be lazy. He's not going to want to do what he should do for the family. You see, when you are on bad terms with yourself, you are going to be on bad terms with others. That's just what sin does to us, folks. That's just what sin does to us. If you are not on good terms with your own conscience, you will not be on good terms with others. Oh, how we need a good conscience towards God and towards one another. And if we're not wholehearted, then I'll guarantee you there's not going to be any peace in our lives or in our homes. There's a third thing I want you to consider. In order to have peace, we must practice righteousness. Righteousness. That is a principle that our world today knows nothing about. I have told you so many times before, what is in our world today, what is right has become wrong. And what's wrong has become right. Everything's backwards. Now the question is, are we going to go with the world or are we going to stick with God? Let me tell you something, folks. You go with the world, peace is going to go out the door. It'll happen every time. It'll happen every time. Would you determine, Christian, would you just make up your mind that you're going to be unfalteringly true to what is right? Just make up your mind you're going to do what's right. It doesn't matter what the rest of the world does. You've got a Bible. You can read it. And the Holy Spirit can tell you what's right and what's wrong. And I'm just asking you tonight, get in the book, learn what is right, and then just do what is right. You say, but Pastor, if it'll go against the grain of what the rest of the world's doing. Well, somebody needs to go against the grain, I guess. I remember when I went to Bible college, Dr. Bob Jones Sr. was a wise man. And he had all these little one-line sayings that people would pull out of his sermons and they would put them on little placards and they hung them up all over the school. It didn't matter what room you went into, there was a little saying that Bob Jones Sr. said. And you, by the time you spend 4 years there, or five in my case, crammed four into five, by the time you graduate, you've got those things ingrained in your head. And Dr. Bob used to say all the time, it is never right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. You know what that's saying? Don't compromise. Don't compromise on the truth. And that's the idea that is just being flouted all over America today. We need to compromise in order to reach more people with the gospel. I disagree with that. I just think that's the wrong idea. It's never right to do wrong to get a chance to do right. This idea today to compromise to get along with everybody else. Folks, I have never, ever, in all of my years of reading and studying this Bible, I have never found anywhere in this Bible that I'm supposed to get along with the world. As a matter of fact, my Savior told me the world was going to hate me. It hated him. And he said, don't you be surprised when the world hates you. And yet, everywhere you listen, folks are saying that, oh, you independent Baptist people, you need to compromise. You need to loosen up a little bit. You need to come and join the rest of us. Folks, we don't compromise on the truth. Freedom from pain and struggle does not bring peace. It just doesn't do it. Oh, that may be the devil's way to peace, a momentary calm, a temporal escape, a little lull. That is possible when truth is forfeited, but it's not true and lasting peace. It's a lie from the devil. It's a facade just like everything else the devil has to offer. And you think that a child who lies to get out of trouble, do you think inside that little lion heart is a peaceful heart? Oh no, that child knows when they've lied. I remember one time when my brother and I were small. I don't know, we were probably 8 or 9 years old. I was 9, he was 8. And we did something, I don't even remember what it was now that we did. But we did something, and I remember Mike saying, Mom's going to kill you. And I said, she won't kill me if she doesn't find out. And I'm not telling. And my brother looked at me and he said, it'll kill me not to tell her. We used to call him St. Michael. Now here comes St. Michael. He was the Holy Spirit in our home. I kid you not. We get ready to go to a ball game in junior high and high school, and my mom and dad would say, Michael, look at me. And Mike would look at Dad, and Dad would point at me, and Dad would say, now, don't let him get in trouble. And there he would be all night long. I wouldn't do that if I were you. I wouldn't do that if I were you. And we went home, and all my mother had to do was look at him. She looked at him, and then she looked at me and said, what did you do? And boy, he just let it all out. Oh, I got it grounded for a month and a whooping and everything else. And my brother just could not compromise on the truth. And folks, do you think that a child who lies to get out of trouble, do you think that child knows anything about peace? They don't. They don't. And then the last thing. You know, the main thing that makes for peace is to be reconciled with God. You remember when you got saved? I remember when I got saved. I've told you before, I got up off of the altar and I went, whew, it was gone. That burden of sin was gone. I was forgiven. I was forgiven. And man will never have true peace in his or her heart until they come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Isaiah said, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Listen, Christian, if you want peace, just keep your heart close to the Lord. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, you're not a Christian, I'm telling you, dear friend, the thing that will bring peace to your soul is to be reconciled with God through the blood of Jesus Christ. Don't you wish you could get the world to understand that? Everybody's out here looking for what they have no idea. And they look for it here and they look for it there. And they think it's in this cause or in that cause. They think it's in this church or that church or this religion or that religion. And they're looking for it in all the wrong places. And peace can only be found in a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. When the Lord Jesus said to the disciples, "My peace give I unto you." Man, that's what we need. We need the peace that comes from knowing the Savior. I want you just to think for a minute, where is peace found today? I mean, just sit here right now. Look around our world. Just think about our world today. Where is peace found today? Is it found in Washington, D.C.? Oh, my goodness, no. Is it found in Brussels, Belgium? No. No, peace is in the heart of that individual who heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, who bowed their unworthy head and called upon the only name given among men whereby we must be saved. And that's where peace comes from. It is in the heart of that person who realizes their need of the Savior, who come with a needy, repentant heart and bow before the cross and trust in the author of peace. I've seen folks get in trouble. I've seen them get in trouble through the years. And I've seen them come to church and cry and weep and slobber. And they're going to change. And they're going to turn around their lives. And they're going to turn over a new leaf. And you can turn the whole tree over if you want to. That's not going to make any difference until you come to Christ. And somewhere along the way, all across America, that message has been lost. We need to come to Jesus. And I go back to the text. He said, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace." Peace is not something you can just go down to Walmart and buy. No, peace comes through a relationship. A relationship with your Creator, the God of heaven. Folks, let's stick with the book. Let's stick with the truth. Let's keep on keeping on for God. And if everybody else in the world goes crazy, we got to stick with it. We don't have any other alternative because nothing else will provide the peace that is needed for our souls. The things that make for peace. You want peace tonight? Get your heart thoroughly right with God. And keep it that way. Tomorrow, get in the Bible and read and let God's peace fill your soul. On Tuesday, get back in the Bible and read it and let God's peace fill your soul. And just live following after those things that make for peace.